Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the R&R Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Again, those are great words and cliches and those things, but Zay's made a lot of plays, you know, in the games that we've played in, and, you know, people don't even notice, you know, what he's done playing flyer out there on the punt team, and he's on kickoff return, and so... you know, we had this conversation a week ago. Darren Waller didn't play. The only people surprised that Foster did what he did, I guess, was the media, because certainly no one in the locker room was surprised what Foster did. So we have a high expectation for what Zay can bring us, just like it's what he's brought us up to this point. So we're all going to get opportunities throughout the course of our, you know, careers and our time here. And again, it's how we respond to the opportunity given to us.
Let's do two more guys. Adam.
That was Raiders interim head coach Rich Bisaccia today at the practice facility in Henderson, which is where I am right now, talking about and Lincoln. By the way, you're in the Huddle with Vinny Monster and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. It is a Wednesday, and you know, Lincoln, in addition to trying to make sense of everything and thinking about the victim, thinking about Henry Ruggs and Henry the person, and nobody here with the Raiders is about to turn their back on him whatsoever, and they'll have conversations with him and, you know, try to support him in any way that they can to help him sort of sort through everything, his own emotions and thoughts. But at the same time, the show must go on. I know that's a cliche, but there's a football game to be played. It's not getting canceled. It's not getting postponed. The Raiders got to get on a plane on Friday and go to New Jersey and go play the New York Giants in a game that is the next step on their path to their goals and objectives, and their very real goals and objectives. Lincoln, they're in first place in the AFC West. They are half a game out of first place in the AFC. There's some special things that they believe they're capable of doing, and as cold and calculating as it might sound, they're not going to let this, or they're going to fight against making sure that this doesn't deter them from those goals. And you just have to look at it that way.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why they had to release them as urgently as they did. I mean, of course, when you heard, they had more details before we did. It was opened up about the pending charges. But you have to limit the distractions. You have to cut weight because you can't have this looming over your head. And as long as he was on the roster, it was going to be looming. And so, you know, as you said, you have to move on. You have to move forward. And it'd be interesting to see what they do at the wide receiver position. It'll be interesting to see how they put all the things together. But so far, with the distractions they've had, and it's been a tumultuous month and change, but the distractions they've had, they've been able to get out there and still play good football. We'll see if they're able to do the same thing this weekend.
Yeah, and it was kind of ironic because the last thing that Derek talked about the Sunday of their win over the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, we asked him, hey, given everything that had happened up until that point with John Gruden and having to really process that in a way that allowed them to go win two games before the break, is the break coming at the right time? Now you'll get a chance to really reflect and think about things and process things without a looming game to also focus on. And I know Derek at the time said, yeah, I mean, we finally have a chance now to kind of just think about all that just happened, because we haven't really had a chance to do that. It's just been full steam ahead because there's a job to do. And how ironic is it, Lincoln, that in the aftermath of doing just that, getting that week off, they return back to yet another drama, another controversy, yeah. And this is the worst possible kind.
Yeah, another big blow. I mean, again, how do you process it? As we talked about in the last segment, it's draining to go through it over and over again, or you know, and it's of course it's not even close to as far as the value of life and somebody losing their job, but still, it's a distraction that's befuddled this team. And we got to put it behind them because they do need to move forward.
Yeah, and one thing about you know sports teams that's always kind of struck me in a lot of ways is that there is especially the good ones and the closer ones, there's a kind of a family element to it. You know, you spend more time you know in season with your teammates and coaches than you do with your family. You know, that's just a fact of the matter. And there's a certain bonding that has to happen in order for good teams to succeed. It's just sacrifice and friendship, you know, all those things that make for a great team. And you have to be close and you have to care and there has to be trust. There has to be chemistry. All of those things go into being a good team. And so the relationships are built, deep relationships. You don't like everybody that you play with, but there's certain players that you become lifelong friends with, and you're almost like family members. And imagine being Rich Bisaccia, who, you know, as the head coach, and, you know, coaches kind of have that sort of parenting, you know, element to them. They're you know, teaching you, they're disciplining you. They have to sometimes say things that, you know, you probably don't want to hear, pointing out some of your, you know, flaws and things that you can correct. But the good ones also care about their players, Lincoln. And can you imagine Rich Bisaccia getting the call that he got yesterday morning to hear that kind of news? Like, that's tough for a coach as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing to keep in mind, this is still relatively a young team.
Yeah.
I mean, the oldest guy is Incognito, right, 38? And you've got a couple of 30-year-olds, but most of these guys are in their mid to late 20s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's supposed to feel like a brotherhood. That's what you want. You want to know that your teammates got your back and you have their back. And you're right, you're not going to spend every minute together, but you do spend enough time together where relationships are built and created and friendships are there. And it does carry on off the field as well.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, now they have to move on without a key piece to the puzzle for them. And, you know, that's, you know, always sort of daunting as well. But there's not, like Derek said, nobody cares. I mean, you know, whatever the case might be, no one cares. The New York Giants are going to make life easy for the, you know, Raiders because they're dealing with this or still dealing with the, you know, the whole John Gruden thing. I have to say this, though, Lincoln, and you had, I don't really know Rich Bisaccia that much. Mm-hmm. You know, by the time I came on board and then COVID hit, it's been difficult to develop, you know, relationships.
True.
Because of all that. Mm-hmm. But in now covering him for a little while, I see what you were talking about in the way you've talked about him. I see what you're saying. It's very understated, he is, but it's a very practical, and you could tell that he cares as well. I don't know him, you do, but it feels like he might be the right kind of person, the right kind of leader in situations like this.
He's really a no-nonsense guy. It's just straightforward. You see him. He is who he is. And, you know, there's not any mannerisms or dual personalities or anything like that. I mean, he's just that type of guy. And he's very straightforward when he talks to you and the way he breaks it down. Like I said, I think he deserves – he's getting a chance to do what, mm-hmm. what it's something he wanted to do for quite some time because he's been around it. But, you know, I think it definitely would make sense to me to see him at the permanent in that role.
Yeah, and he said something early on that really struck with me in terms of separating the player from the person. And I think the way he had phrased it was, you know, when we're on the field or I'm critiquing you on film, you know, I'm critiquing number four. I'm critiquing number seven. I'm critiquing. That's me yelling or pointing out things to a number. When you come after that, when you come up into my office, you're the person, and we're the person. Like, and that's how it's going to be. I'm never going to be criticizing you, the person, when I'm pointing things out. You know, that you could do better, or trying to, you know, motivate you, or whatever, or having to sometimes grade you. You know, it's the number. It's your number. And then after that, then it's me and you, the person. And you can always come up to my office and talk about whatever it is, football, life, doesn't matter. You know, I'm here. I felt like, you know, that probably resonates pretty well with players when somebody can even just acknowledge that. Like, I'm not yelling at you, Lincoln Kennedy. You know, I'm yelling at the guy in that the jersey number. Everything else, now we're going to be friends and have a relationship.
Can't be thin skinned in this business. You got to be able to take criticism, and you already know it doesn't matter in the business world. You got to be able to take feedback and criticism. You got to be able to take it with a grain of salt. You can either get better from it, learn from it, apply it to the way it affects you, or if you're overly sensitive about it, then you're going to take everything. You're not going to be around very long, that's for sure.
There was never – first of all, when did you kind of come to grips with that, and was there ever anything that anybody ever said that made you want to do not bad things, but you know, maybe a punch, or you know, at least a shove or something like that to somebody that was going a little overboard?
Well, I mean, learned a long time ago, you can't be sensitive. You know, like when I was in Atlanta, I, you know, June Jones, I felt had it out for me because he didn't like my weight. And you know, even though I was one of those guys that said, look, I'm not going to kill myself, because Corey Stringer was a good friend of mine, and when he lost his life trying to battle weight, I was like, it's just not that serious. You know, and I knew I wasn't going to be a small guy, so you just had to deal with it. But, you know, I never took the criticism, or never took it personal, that, and, you know, my thought was that there was an inferior guy who was playing in front of me. And
right.
June liked him better. So I just said, there's plenty of, you know, jobs around the league. Go somewhere else. So you kind of have that awakening or that opening mind, or if you really want to commit yourself to this type of career, you need to do everything that's possible to make sure it takes off. And you see a lot of that in that locker room, especially in the defensive line. You got guys who are trying to play and are pretty good at it. Just, you know, you can't play everybody all the time.
What was the most eye-opening for you going from high school to college, or college to the NFL?
Probably college to the NFL. Everyone had said that the speed was different. It was greater. Just never seen it. Didn't realize it until you got in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, the speed, the level, and seeing all kinds of body sizes, you know, guys that you didn't think they were fast or that quick go around you in the flash of an eye. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, Josh Jacobs was telling us that he told Alex Leatherwood, you know, he's a couple years older, obviously, than Alex. They knew each other in college. But he said, he goes, I told him, man, in college, a guy might be really big or a guy might be really strong. You know, and every once in a while, you're going to see a guy who's both. He goes, at this level, everybody is both. So yeah. You just have to come to grips with the fact that it's not going to be one or the other necessarily. It's going to be both. And you have to, you know, figure out a way to deal with that. And while we're on that note, how do you feel about this offensive line moving forward? I think we've got two games worth of film to really look at to see if this thing is moving in the right direction. But, you know, the reality is, especially now, taking a weapon out like Henry Ruggs, I think it's even more incumbent on this offensive line to really hit its stride coming out of the break.
Yeah, you know, from what I've seen over the last couple of games and really broke it down, they are coming together. I also think, and we've talked about this before, I think it has a lot to do with scheme. You can coach for success. You can put your guys in the right, a better position if you're mindful of that instead of trying to hit your head up against a brick wall. And what I mean by that, certain simple things like I believe that Josh Jacobs is a better downhill runner straight at the line rather than the stretches. Not to say that he can't do it. I said I think he's more effective and more efficient when he's going straight downhill, and that incurs a lot of man blocking. And so I've seen this offensive line kind of gel in a way during some things like that. Also taking the pressure off them by, you know, putting screens out there. I've seen screens and draws. That wasn't a part of this offense before, and I think it just takes some of the pressure off of the offensive line. Still a lot of work to be done. You know, Andre James has got to play better, obviously. He's getting better every week, especially as we talked about it. But, you know, Brandon Parker's got to figure out a way how to stop a bull rush because that's all people are going to do to him. So, you know, there's still a lot that to be had there. But, you know, for the most part, this is a team I think that, you know, the offensive line coming together playing, that this scheme has really helped them excel and helped them build confidence. And I'm hoping that they can maintain an add-on to this week.
All right, in a case like Brandon Parker, you've mentioned this before about the bull rush. Is it just a matter that he can't or he's not doing what he needs to do in order to?
Most guys, when they're being bull rush, they try to do one or two things. Either they try to muscle up where, you know, you would imagine a guy's trying to run over you and all of a sudden you're just trying to drop your anchor, put your feet in the ground, and take it all on your back. Well, you got to have another course. There's things that we used to do like trapping and stuff like that when a guy had his momentum or weight forward leaning into you, that you would take your arms and on the top of his arms chop down as hard as you possibly could, and his momentum would take him to the ground. I don't see a lot of, I see some guys do it in the National Football League. I don't see a lot of guys do it, but that would be a technique that you can take. Or understand that people are going to come into you, so you got to do one. You got to have a backup. If they're going to try to run you over, you got to have a backup because you can't. That's how he keeps hurting his back. He's straining trying to take these guys on. So he's got to develop something else as a counter to it.
Well, they had an opportunity, you know, to at least kick the tires on somebody, you know, as maybe an upgrade for Brandon, but. Whether that person just wasn't available, or the asking price was too much, or you know they just feel like, you know what, it's working and it's getting better, and we're committed to seeing this through. But I do have to say that DJ Fluker looked a lot better today than he did 2 weeks ago. The last time I saw him, in terms of his physicality and his conditioning, still no on him potentially being a right tackle.
Oh, he's not a tackle. No, I mean, he's not. His feet are too slow. He had the same problem when he was drafted by the Chargers. They put him out of tackle. He just could not deal with the speed rush. And he's more of a guard. And there's nothing wrong with that. But no, he's not a tackle.
Well, what about him as a guard? You know, I'm sure his best day is probably behind him. But on a good day for DJ Fluker, could he help the Raiders this year?
I think what he could help, what I would probably be more apt to do him if you're going to suit him up, is help with the run game and the jumbo package, because we talked about how Foster Moreau struggles out there as the extra tight end, and they did it. Who did it last game? They brought in Nick Martin. To help out at the tight end, and that might be a way that you can go. But I would see him more at the guard position, or maybe helping out in like the jumbo short yardage, like when you just want to pound the snot out of the football. I think you can do that with him in position as like a tight end or something like that, extra blocker.
Well, I think they're going to have to do that against the Giants because I'll say this about the Giants: they're definitely offensively challenged without question. I don't even know what they're trying to do necessarily over there. It's just kind of a head scratcher. Yeah, that too, and Saquon Barkley today. I think he's on the COVID list.
Is he? Wow.
Yeah.
They basically had a whole team outbreak that they're trying to get under control.
Oh, great.
Yeah. DeMond, actually, because I was so knee-deep in everything that was going on with Henry Ruggs, if you have some information, what exactly, because I saw that kind of come across, but I really wasn't able to dive into it yet. What did I read about the Giants?
Basically, they've had, so far it's only been confirmed that the running back coach has COVID, and so they're just retesting all the players. So all the players are having to retest, but so far the confirmed case is the running back's coach. So now they're just doing the due diligence of making everyone else go get tested again. And then that's also compiling with the injuries that they actually have to players.
Right, no
doubt
about it.
And Saquon Barkley is one of the running back coach, so obviously he's going to be one of those players that needs to be retested.
Right, and did I read right that like there were 13 players that tested positive, but then they came back and tested negative, right?
That's why they wanted to retest players, because they would be in jeopardy of having to cancel the game if that would have held up.
Yeah, it was that thought flashed, through my mind. I was like, 13 players? Wait a minute, is this game even going to be played? But then, the subsequent report that said that they all, almost I think all of them then tested negative. So it's in good shape to play this game. But Lincoln, getting back to the Giants, offensively challenged Giants and injury riddled Giants. One thing that I thought I saw pretty well of them against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday or on Monday night was a pretty decent defense, and a defensive line that has, some players down there that could do some damage. What kind of a matchup are you anticipating that front from that?
I think it's a challenge. If you watch that game closely against Kansas City, what they said is that they were going to play a high enough shell in the back end to where you weren't going to beat them deep. You're going to be able to throw things underneath. You're going to take those yards there, but you're not going to be able to stretch or stretch them deep or vertically. So that works to Derek Carr's. He's as patient of a quarterback out there. But the defensive line has got to hold up. The offensive line has got to hold up, mainly because they have rushers. They don't have to blitz a lot, but they do have rushers that can apply pressure on the quarterback.
If you could put your finger on, and this is something that the Raiders are going to have to get turned around on Sunday, they're just not very good after the bye week. And Rich Bisaccia pointed that out. At the very least, they're acknowledging it and trying to, get it fixed. But what's the biggest, you would think that you're rested. Is it a fine line between rest and rust, or you just get out of whack a little bit by not practicing?
Yes. All that. A little lethargic. Look, this is unlike the last two games, notoriously this season, the Raiders have started out slow.
Right.
It's almost like they don't wake up to the third quarter. So, you try to go back and look at the last two games and how that worked for you and try to capitalize off of that momentum. If you take in consideration, they got to go back east. There's going to be an early start time for them. The one good thing that they do now that, say, we didn't do back when I played, is like they're actually practicing in the morning, aren't they? They practice.
It's like 11
or something like that, whatever.
It's been a little bit later since Bisaccia took over. During training camp, it was 7 in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, God. I hated that.
But I say that to say this, that, it's not a big of a challenge when you go back east and say you're starting at 10 a.m. if you practice in the morning. You know what I mean? A 1 o'clock game, 10 a.m. for your body. I think that helps. But the big thing is that it's hard to generate that momentum when you've had some time off. They've been gone for a whole week and they're just kind of getting back into it. It's not like they can't do it or they don't know how to do it. It's just getting that rhythm, that lather to go back into and to get back into that type of energy, that type of vibe sometimes takes a little time.
Yeah, and anything can happen, Lincoln, on Sunday. And, we all know that. But I just get a different feel about this team than the previous Raider teams that I've covered. There's just more of a maturity level. Having learned from their previous mistakes, level. They're obviously, to me, more talented, now, especially on defense. You know, saying that, I was just about ready to say the wide receivers are in good shape, but now all of a sudden that's challenged because that's, you know, you think about what just happened, and Lincoln Henry was really a big part of this offense. It wasn't just the numbers, which were starting to really blossom and increase. It's what he meant to the whole operation with that speed and the focus that defenses had to put on him. As I'm talking it through, you know, this is a different team in a lot of different ways, in a lot of better ways. But man, you know, it kind of circles back to what just happened and the football loss that the Raiders are going to feel on Sunday and moving forward.
Well, the thing is that, you know, the way they were using Henry was the way they intended to use him last year. It just never really came to fruition as much as it did. Taking the top off of defense is more importantly if you're going to play zero coverage where there's no deep safety and you're going to play man across the board, then you're going to have that threat. And they use that, especially when they blitzed. They've sent a message to all the teams in the National Football League. If you blitz, especially with our receivers, you're going to put one-on-one on somebody, you can get burned. Henry did that a couple times, as well as, you know, Zay Jones, Edwards, and stuff like that. So that's what that's one of the big things about it. And they also lose the deep angle routes off of play action because that's something they have been working quite a bit on and have had success. When you have that much speed, like Henry Ruggs does, and the crossing routes become ultra dangerous. I wish this team did more crossing routes, but that's just my say. Anyways, but those deep angle routes and those deep pivot routes are big time, and it's one of the things that Ruggs has done well. Now Zay is going to have to do it, or they have to find someone else. Edwards can do it too. He's still got some speed.
Yeah, he does. It's just it's just inexplicable because again, it looked like they had their wide receiver group set for a good next 5 years or so. Yeah. And it just, you know, life always has a way of stepping up and saying, you know, you're not in. Don't think too far in advance because life is always lurking somehow, some way. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Wednesday.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now back to your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy.
From a football aspect, I mean, we're ready to go. You know, we had a great practice. We're dealing with a lot of things this year. That's for sure. A lot of guys, just what a crazy year. You know, I heard that a couple times. You know, I heard, goodness gracious, you know, like, man, you know, just like, can we please, nothing else, you know, not for our own sake, but just for the sake of everyone else, you know, just for everyone involved, you know. But from a football aspect, from a competitive aspect, we're ready to play football. There's no doubt about that. You know, we know where we're at from that standpoint, and we know what we have to do. We know that this was a time of year where we hit a lull a couple times, you know, and we can't let that happen, no matter what's going on. Me and 9-1, me and Jan say it to each other every day. Nobody cares, you know. At the end of the day, nobody cares. What we're going through, how your body feels, nobody cares. We gotta do our job. And we emphasize that to each other again today, you know. Hey, I got your back, you got mine, nobody cares, man, we got to go. And before practice, during practice, after practice, you know, we're always just trying to push whoever's listening. That, is it fair? No, because I want to have emotions about things. I want to think about things as a human being, you know. Football is secondary when something like this happens. You know, we're talking about lives and, a lot of different lives and a lot of different situations. But for us, from a football aspect, our mindset is we're going to be ready to play. That's for sure.
That was Derek Carr, Raiders quarterback, today at the practice facility in Henderson, trying to, make sense of what happened, Lincoln, but try to, you know, just set aside. And I wrote about this today. There's a human and a professional side, and we all have to do it, Lincoln. We all have to do it. We've all experienced loss. We've all experienced pain. We've all experienced everything that life has to offer. We all have. Let's be honest with it. And there's no way that we can call a timeout in life so that we could just deal with that, you know, because there's bills that need to be paid. There's food that needs to be put on the table. There's obligations. There's, you know, what you're paid to do. And you know, call it right or wrong, Lincoln, but that's just the way the world works.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think about it, what Derek was trying to say is that you want to put this stuff behind you and move on. And there's times where, you know, you feel a little awkward about how to do that. I mean, just like the Gruden situation when we first started talking, like these guys just want to go out and play football. Mm-hmm. Coaches coach, players play, just want to play football and put it behind them. You know, now there's a tragedy that has happened to one of your teammates, and you know, you do feel for his family and you feel for him as well, but and the victim's family, but you still want to just put it behind you and go out and do what you do. And that's why this trip to New York can't come fast enough.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes it's not behind you, but off to the side.
Yeah.
Because you're never far from it. And, you know, Derek talking today about how, you know, passing Henry's locker, you know, and Henry's not there. Henry's there every single day, you know, and has been for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, Henry's not there. And I know that, you know, that happens in professional sports. People get traded, people get cut, whatever the case might be. And all of a sudden, you know, the team, sometimes it rarely looks different. I mean, it rarely looks the same from day to day a lot of times. There's practice squad players getting elevated. There's guys getting cut, put on IR. So you kind of get used to that in this world. But at the same time, today when Derek Carr passed his locker and saw that it was empty, it wasn't because, oh, he's hurt and he's on IR or anything like that. There was a real reason, a life reason, why he wasn't there, and it kind of hit Derek. You know, man, like all of it just sort of came rushing back, and but again, you have to leave that right there in the locker room, or you know, outside the locker room almost, yeah. So that you can focus properly on the task at hand. And you know, one of the things that I think could help the Raiders and is that this season isn't lost. This isn't a, you know, three, four years ago season where, you know, it's just not going very well again. No, this is anything but. The Raiders are right where they want to be, Lincoln. They're in first place in the AFC. And they want to make sure they stay in first place. And I think they have the right people in that locker room. Now, do they have the right mindset to be able to continue to forge ahead and pursue those objectives in a legitimate way?
Well, I mean, this is going to be a big test for them. I mean, the Giants are no slouch. They're, as you mentioned in the last segment, they're offensively challenged to some extent. They, you know, and inconsistent with the injuries, especially I think Shepard went down, one of the receivers. So they're running thin on offensive players. But they're still a team nonetheless that you got to go out and take care of business. And when you look at the remaining part of the schedule, I mean, look, It's a very winnable schedule in a lot of ways. You can say probably the most difficult tasks are going to be the Bengals, the Cowboys, and of course the Chargers.
They play the Chiefs twice too.
Yeah, they still have to play Chiefs. I mean, it's not easy, but I'm just saying that the Chiefs are having their fair share of issues and problems too. And I think that the Raiders, this is it's a very winnable and favorable schedule for them. But they still have to go out and do it now. And we can't. You know, I've made the mistake over the last couple of years of looking ahead after the Raiders came out to a fast start, and then they wet themselves in the second half of the season. And you know, I'm sitting there left in the hole like, what happened? But I think this time is going to be different, even amongst the distractions, the off-the-field distractions.
And I got to say, having worked with Lincoln now for a year and a half or so, I believe him when he says that, because even all through last year, Lincoln you know, A, it didn't take Vince Lombardi to figure out this defense is really bad. And B, if you didn't understand that, Lincoln was there to pretty much explain it on a daily basis. This offense needs to score 30-plus points to win a game, any game, basically. And that's not a world – that's a dangerous world to live in the NFL when your offense has to be perfect. Play in and play out, let alone game in and game out. Like play in and play out. They couldn't squander any opportunity. And even when they did and they did take advantage of everything, it still sometimes wasn't enough because the defense was just that bad. This year, listen to Lincoln now. It sounds way more positive about things, and I'm pretty sure, not to put words in your mouth, Lincoln, it probably has a little bit to do with the fact that they could actually stop people now.
Well, that has a lot to do with it. I mean, the offense has a rhythm, even though it still has holes. The offense has a rhythm to it that can score points and can be efficient and effective, and we've seen that. If they don't shoot themselves in the foot by getting off to slow starts or forcing the hands where they have to play catch-up, I think this offense can compete with anyone. But the defense has been the betterment of the team, in my opinion. It's been the better part of the team because the defense can generate a rush with four. I'm really impressed with the way Denzel Perryman is playing. Even Littleton as well, linebackers and the secondary, even though it's been banged up, still has been efficient and effective. So as a whole, I'm really impressed with the way the defense has been playing.
And I know you said you were going to resist looking ahead because last couple of years it's kind of gotten the best of you. But we're going to look ahead right now.
I'm going to resist so you can do it.
All right, well, turn the volume off then, because here it comes. All right, so the Giants on Sunday, obviously, and I keep having to remind myself the Chiefs are in Las Vegas next week. So here come the Kansas City Chiefs on a Monday night game, big stage for the Raiders on the 14th, 5:20 kickoff time. And then they're back home to the Bengals, who I think got served up a little bit of humble pie on Sunday. The Bengals, as most young teams learn a lesson from time to time in this regard, the Bengals were flying pretty darn high, and they were playing pretty good football, and I've been bullish on them pretty much from the get-go. But they go to play the New York Jets, and guess what? Those other guys get paid too, I think the Bengals got caught looking ahead a little bit and lost. Anyway, they come here in 2 weeks, and then it's a short week, Lincoln, to go play the Dallas Cowboys in what, if the Raiders can kind of hold serve here over these next 3 weeks, and I think they're capable of doing that. Wow, doesn't that set up to be a fun Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys? But here's the thing. On when you're looking at it, Dallas, Thanksgiving, short week, that's a 50-50 proposition. I think the Raiders are a good football team, and I think they could beat the Cowboys. 10 times they play, they could beat them 5 times. But this might be the one where, that's going to be a tough chore to go beat the Cowboys in Dallas, which makes it even more important that they take care of business these next 3 weeks.
Well, that's a mouthful, and it's all very true. I think when you talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys, you're talking about two physical teams that are playing some good football, that have effective offenses. Both defenses are playing impressively well. The last thing you want to do is you don't want to overlook anybody, obviously, but that Sunday night game against Kansas City is a big deal. Even this Giants game is a big deal because you want to keep the momentum going. You're going into a stretch where I've always felt that teams that win in November, December end up playing in January, and it's not going to be an easy stretch. The Cleveland Browns are in disarray right now, but you got to figure they might get it right. Last thing you want to do is have them surprise you on a date that's going to be flexed, for all the world to watch. So after you take on the Kansas City Chiefs twice, then you got to go to Cleveland on a day to be announced, and then we still have the Colts, the Broncos, and the Chargers. I think the division is going to be decided by the Chargers and Raiders that last game.
Yep, I'm with you on that. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Ramon, the Raider Witch Doctor, is on the line. How you doing, brother? Raider Ramon, are you there? Do we have John in Orange County?
Hello?
Yeah, is this Raider Ramon?
No, it's John from Orange County.
Hey, John, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good, man. Just want to give you, Vince, Crossman, and Link Finley. I listen to you guys every day. Very proud to have this as the Raider Nation call line. Been going through a lot of stuff, but it definitely helps us to talk about things. But So, yeah, we've been having a rough patch. But you know what, man? I believe this team has great character and great poise. And I think we're going to get through this, man. We just got great players. It's just a whole different vibe. Everyone seems more mature. And you know what? I yesterday when I woke up at 6, I checked, you know, I read my Bible, and then I checked my Raider news, man. And I was devastated, just like the nation. But once again, our condolences to the family. You know what, man? This is – I love football. Football is something I grew up with. I love my Raiders, man. And something for this to happen since I've been a kid and through so much up and downs, it really hurts. But I really believe Carr is the right guy. I just have faith in him, and I want everybody in the Raider Nation to know that we all we got, man. And we don't look left or right. We look forward. And like Big Al said, you know, the future – the greatness of the future is of the organization is in the future, and the future is right now. And I just want to give you guys mad love once again to the nation, to the broadcast team. Let's go, Raiders. Love you guys.
All right, John, thank you very much. And I echo those statements about Derek Carr. I've been covering him now for 2-plus years. He's an impressive dude, Lincoln. I've covered a lot of players. And I, you know, just the person that he is and the values that he stands for, you know, the poise that he's expressed now twice over the last month, kind of having to help lead the Raiders out of a dark place. In that regard, from that standpoint, there probably isn't a better person to have in that locker room, kind of leading the way and leading the charge than Derek Carr. He's really an impressive person. And human being, in my book. You're in the huddle. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Saul is on the line. How you doing, Saul?
Hey guys, what's going on? Good evening. No, just calling in. I've been wanting to call some gestures since all this news broke, and you know, just like everybody else, when the news started coming out. It was like a real big, bad gut punch, you know. And as you started finding more details out, it was just like, you know, thinking from a fan, like, you know, not again. You know, how can this happen to us? And then I had to put, you know, a reality, you know, a sense of reality. It's like, this is more than football. This is a family member, or, you know, a person that life has gone for a senseless act, you know. And, you know, and it really hit home for me because I have a 24-year-old and I also have a 28-year-old. And, you know, my 24-year-old, he likes to go out and experience, you know, the stuff that adults do here in Vegas. And it can get crazy out here, you know. And I always tell him, you know, we live in a 24/7 town and you got to be careful because you can be the, you know, the perfect kid or the sweetest kid and you mess up and you make an accident or you something like this happens and there's no going back, you know. There's nothing that, as a parent, that I could do to, you know, I could be there for you. But this is something that, you know, you take someone's life, there's no going back. And it can happen in a blink of an eye. And, you know, and us growing up all my life, I've been a Raider fan. And, you know, I raised him as a Raider fan. And, you know, he's the generation with Ruggs' generation, you know, the youngsters. And he relates to that player, you know. And to see his mugshot today was really an opportunity for me to show him and, you know, open up his eyes and show him, you know, you could see the remorse in Ruggs' face, you know, during his picture and, you know, and just to show him like how far you can fall from grace in so short of a time, you know. And it was really a reality check for us and a learning opportunity. And also on the other end, you know, my daughter, she works on the strip and she works with the casinos and she's constantly driving home, you know, at those hours getting off shift. And I can just, you know, put myself in, and I can't put myself in their parents' shoes, but I can just imagine that's my worst nightmare. So it really hits home for me. And I just want everybody to, if anything, learn from this, and it's not worth it. Don't drink and drive. And, you know, it's okay to forgive, but I mean, it's too soon probably, but, you know, it's, you know, everybody messes up, you know, and everybody deserves a second chance. So hopefully, you know, it would just be a good learning tool for everybody, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said, Saul. Thank you so much for the call. Back out to the listener line. Antonio in Modesto is on the line. How you doing, Antonio?
Hey, good, guys. Hey, Vinny, I appreciate all the work you do. And Link, man, thank you for carrying the shield for the Raiders for all these years, man. I appreciate it. But I'll keep it short and brief. you know, condolences, obviously, man. And unfortunately, this is a $1 billion business. As sad as it's, you know, we have to move forward. And I think we lose fact of you know, we, I don't think we lose fact of what's going on, but I think that as sad as is going through Mr. Ruggs and the family that deceased, unfortunately, the wheels turn. And it's hard to look at a game Sunday, man. I will be tuning in and looking to see what Ruggs may have did if he was still there. And look at what Zay Jones done. Unfortunately, that's where we're at today. And, again, you guys putting out everything you guys can for us, you know, being from the Bay, man, and I get all the information. So I appreciate what you guys do, man. And you guys are stand-up guys to get up and talk about it from yesterday to today. And then, obviously, Sunday, Lincoln, you'll be making that call. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And, it's – that's the thing, Lincoln. Nobody at all, I can assure you here, you know, that we've spoken to and talked to and reached out to, is losing any sight of the of what happened, of the real tragedy in all of this. You know, but, you know, at the same time, there's 52 other men in that locker room that had literally nothing to do with this at all.
Right.
And they have their lives to live and their families to take care of and their jobs and their, you know, and that goes on. And at the same time, Lincoln, there's still room to feel a certain way for Henry Ruggs as well, because, you know, that's, it's just something that he's going to have to live with now for the rest of his life. Whether you want to say that he deserves it, I don't know. I'm not any kind of a judge or jury or anything like that. But I know that it's going to be difficult for him. I could tell. I saw Henry today at the, in the court proceedings, and kind of he went from being Henry Ruggs, the football player, to Henry Ruggs, 22-year-old kid, who looked petrified, you know, at what he's gotten himself into. And it's almost like you're in a box and you can't get out of it. There's nothing that you can do. I learned this one, Lincoln, when I walked into the hospital and I was told that my brother was dead, you know, when I got there after a car accident. There's nobody that you can argue to. There's no way to change that. There's nothing you can do. There's a finality to it that's just, it's mind-boggling. And I know that he would give anything right now, Henry Ruggs, to turn back the clock and just make a better decision, but he can't. And you can see that on his face. I'm not absolving him from anything, but there's a human element to that part of it as well, Lincoln.
And that's what's so sad, is because it takes a life-altering reality like this, the episode, to make you stop and think. It shouldn't come to that. You just got to be smarter. I'm hoping that more people are smarter. And please don't drink and drive.
Yep, absolutely. And I echo that times a billion. Want to say thank you to all of our callers. Appreciate your insight and your heartfelt emotions and feelings. Lincoln, thank you for everything. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Yep.
Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. DeMond, thank you for everything that you do at home base. Truly appreciate all that you do. We're back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. in the huddle. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. Check you guys out tomorrow. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.